Well, I have to be honest in saying that preaching in a t-shirt is definitely my style. And next time, it's going to be my sleeveless Harley t-shirt. And I'm going to buy some Rogaine and hopefully my long hair will grow back. Well, as many of you know, I did not come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior until my late 20s. For 28 years, I was spiritually blind and spiritually dead. We all come into this world, born spiritually dead and spiritually blind. Yet by God's grace, at age 28, the veil was removed from the heart. And for the first time in my life, I saw God for who He truly is. And thus I began to praise Him. Now, I'll be honest with you in saying that before the scales fell off my eyes, before I truly knew who God was, I thought that people who praised God and went around praising God, that they were a little bit strange. They were a little weird, to say the least. And even when someone seemed to be praising God in a way that seemed sincere, it was totally foreign to me. It did not fit into my world. Now, it was common for me to praise people and places and things, but I was not praising the one true God at that time. You see, until the veil is removed in Christ and a person is born again, they do not see God for who He truly is. Sure, they may believe God exists. They may be religious. However, they do not praise the Lord in the biblical sense because they do not know the Lord in the biblical sense. The Bible teaches that everyone knows there is a God by simply looking at creation, at what God has created. However, people do not know Him personally as Lord and Savior until they have spiritual life in Christ, until the veil has been removed. And when a person does not know who God truly is, and they've not applied Jesus' death and His resurrection to their life, then praising God is not something they understand biblically, nor is it something they desire to do or they're even motivated to do. Yet, the only reason that God created any of us was to praise Him. And if we're not living every day to praise the Lord, we're not living for the very purpose for which God created us. Now, it should seem more than reasonable that life can only be what it was meant to be when we, the creation, live out the only purpose for which we were created for, and that is to praise the Lord. Today we're going to walk through Psalm 146, and we will see why praising the Lord should be in our hearts, in our minds, and on our lips. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Psalm 146. Psalm 146, starting in verse 1, we read, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord." You may be seated. And would you pray with me? Holy Father, You are worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise. Lord, help us to praise You. Would You comfort us and convict us today by the power of the Holy Spirit? working by and with your word, that we would seek to praise you all of our days and throughout all of eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalms 146 through 150 all begin with praise the Lord, and they all end with praise the Lord. The Bible begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it ends with, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. We should praise the Lord as we read Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22:21, and every single verse in between. Our text today, Psalm 146, begins with praise the Lord. Look with me at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Who is to be praised? The Lord is to be praised. And notice here that Lord is in all capital letters. And if you remember, Pastor Jim talked about this a couple weeks ago. When we see the word Lord in all caps, Lord is referring to the sacred, covenantal, proper name for the one true God. And this is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. He was telling Moses, I am the covenant-keeping God. I am Yahweh. On the other hand, when we see Lord in small case letters when in reference to God, the Hebrew word is Adonai, which means sovereign one. The use of Lord with small caps is a title for God rather than the covenantal proper name for God, which is Yahweh. Now, why is this all important? This is important because the Lord Yahweh is in a special covenantal relationship with all who have repented and placed their trust in Jesus Christ alone as their only hope of eternal life. God is with those who are in Christ, and he keeps his promises to those who are in Christ. Every single time, Lord is in Psalm 146, it points us to the God who keeps his covenant promises with his redeemed people. The Lord is awesome, and he is worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise. Now, the word praise here in verse 1 means to make a show about the Lord. It's to celebrate him. It's to boast about him. It is to rave about him. Verse 1 tells us not only who to praise, which is the one true sovereign God who keeps his covenant promises to his people, but also where this praise must come from in order to be genuine praise. And this praise must come from the soul. Verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The writer of Psalm 146 is encouraging himself to praise the Lord from the depths of his being. Only those who are in a covenantal relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ can praise the Lord from the soul. Why? Because only those who know the Lord through the person and work of Jesus Christ have been born again, and the Bible commands us to worship in spirit and in truth. Verse 1 speaks of the inward soul that delights in God. This speaks of a soul that praises God for who he is and truly believes that God is more than enough. Praising God from the soul refers to a genuine fear of, a genuine trust in, a genuine obedience to, and a genuine love for God. And the soul refers to the seat of appetites, the passions, the mind, the will, the emotions, the desires. When someone praises the Lord from the soul, they see the Lord as his or her precious and greatest treasure. They see him as more precious than any person, any place, or anything. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So praising the Lord from the soul does not simply refer to speaking words or to singing songs or other outward forms of outward praise. True praise from the Lord springs from the soul's eyes being focused on the greatness of God. And yes, this does often lead to outward forms of genuine praise. For those of us who know the Lord Yahweh personally through Jesus Christ, our entire lives are to be filled with praise. We should be daily encouraging ourselves to praise the Lord from the depths of our being. Look with me at verse 2. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Verse 2 teaches us the when and the for how long that we should be praising the Lord. Praising the Lord is our permanent occupation. There is no vacation from and no retirement from praising the Lord. As one of our deacons often encouragingly says to shut-ins and other people who feel as though they can't serve the Lord as they once did, he says this: you can still pray. And prayer is a very, very important thing. We are to never stop praising God. As verse 2 says, we're to praise the Lord as long as we live. We're to wake up praising Him and praising Him throughout the day. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, "For to me," he said, "to live is Christ. The only reason to live is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he said, "To die, well, that's gain." Paul's teaching us that all of life is about worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are in Christ, after we die, it's gain. Because then we will perfectly praise the Lord throughout all of eternity. In verse 2, we see Lord in all caps again, and we see the words, "My God." The writer of Psalm 146, he doesn't just know about God. He doesn't just know the facts about God. He knows God personally. And that's what motivates him to want to praise God all of his life and in all things. As we today focus on how great God is and trust the promises we have in Christ, we will praise the Lord. We will praise Him all of our lives, and we will praise Him in all things. We'll praise Him to our last thought and our last breath in this life, and then throughout all of eternity. Just as Psalm 146 begins and ends with praising the Lord, our lives are to be filled with praising God. There is no one but the one true, sovereign, covenant-keeping Lord who is worthy of this worshipful praise. Look at me at verses 3 and 4. It says, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish." Part of praising the Lord is to put our trust in Him rather than in man, meaning men and women. Verse 3 commands us to not put our trust in Him. Now, this doesn't mean we don't trust other people as far as wisdom would allow. Yet our ultimate trust and our ultimate hope never lies in people. It lies in the Lord alone. Why would we ultimately put our trust in man, meaning men or women, who are created beings, rather than the Lord, who's the sovereign, all-powerful, all-wise, creator of all, sustainer of all, and redeemer of those who are in Jesus Christ? Man, by nature, is fallen, not good, sinful, and wicked. The Lord is good, always. He is holy, always, and He's always perfect. Man sometimes, often fails. The Lord never fails. Man cannot create anything. Man can only fashion those things that God has already created. The Lord is the creator. Man is not all-powerful. The Lord is all-powerful. Man is not in control. The Lord is always in control. Man is not all-wise. The Lord is all-wise. Man is not always just. The Lord is always just. Man sometimes lies and does not keep His word. The Lord cannot lie, and He always keeps His word. Man changes. The Lord never changes. Do we not see the folly of putting our ultimate trust in man, whether it be a prince or a king or a president or a government or a boss or a pastor or any other person, especially including ourselves. We are all sons of man. We are all related to our fallen parents, Adam and Eve. As verse 3 says, there is no salvation in man. Man cannot guarantee safety for himself or for anyone else for one single solitary second. Only God provides ultimate safety in the here and now in accordance with his holy will. Man does not have the power or goodness in himself to save himself or other people from the eternal wrath of God that we all deserve because of our sin. Only God has the power to save people by his grace from the eternal wrath that we all deserve. Yes, kings and governments and other leaders, yes, they have their place. The Bible commands us to pray for them, to respect them, and to obey them, unless it would mean to disobey God. However, our hope, our salvation, and our trust is not ever to be ultimately in man, but in the sovereign Lord, who is the all-powerful, all-wise King of the universe. David wrote in Psalm 27, "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Why would we put our ultimate trust in dust? Man came from the dust, and man will return to the dust. As verse 4 says, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Man does not have the power of life, nor does he have the power to make sure his plans always come to pass. Man's breath will run out, as will the breath of his plans. If the Lord is truly your God, trust him and praise him. The Lord is also always there as our true help and our true hope. Look with me at verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The Lord kept his covenant promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and he keeps his promises to those who are in Christ today. Those of us today who are in Christ have the same Lord. We have the same help and the same hope as Jacob did. When we trust the Lord as our hope and help, we are blessed, as verse 5 says. We have inner joy and inner peace in our lives, and we praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, as verse 1 says. We're to be completely dependent upon God in all of our sin struggles and all of our trials in life. There is great help and great hope always available for those that have the Lord as their God. We can trust him because he's the all-powerful creator who is always faithful to who he is, and he's always faithful to his word. Look with me at verse 6, speaking of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. We should praise the Lord as our help and our hope because he is the sovereign creator and king of the universe. As verse 6 says, he made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. And get this, the Bible tells us that God spoke. Yeah, he spoke the world into existence. I recently read Dr. R.C. Sproul's book, The Holiness of God, which I highly recommend. And the book stated this: light from the nearest star, not the farthest star, the nearest star, apart from our own sun, took 4.5 years to reach planet Earth while traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles a second. Now, I'm not really into science, but I tell you, when I read that, I was dumbfounded. I stopped and I pondered on how awesome and powerful and creative and majestic and sovereign and sustaining the Lord is. I praised him. How could I not? The Lord who spoke the world into existence and controls all of creation surely deserves our worship and our praise. And he's surely capable of being our help and our hope in any and every situation. And I know, I get it. Our trials and our struggles, to us, they can seem huge at times. But to God, they are tiny. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't care, because he does care. And he sees these things as being difficult for us, but they are no match for him. We can trust and praise the Lord because he's a sovereign, sustaining creator who keeps his promises. Praise him for creation, and praise him because he always is faithful to his word. He is the Lord. Praise him. The Lord is also the one who brings ultimate justice for the oppressed. He's the provider. He sets the prisoners free. He opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. And he loves the righteous. Look at me, verses 7 through 8. Speaking of the Lord, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. This promise-keeping Lord cares for his people who are being oppressed. The Lord said to Moses at the burning bush, "I've surely seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry, and I've come down to deliver them." The Lord's people had been enslaved and mistreated in Egypt for 400 years. And yet God was always with them. They had the promise given to Abraham hundreds of years before that time that in God's perfect timing, he would set them free. There is no promise that oppression will end for God's people in this life. However, for those who are in Christ, oppression will end when either Jesus comes back or when we die to go and be with him, where there is no oppression. The Lord will, if not in this life, ultimately execute justice for the oppressed and for those who are unjustly in prison. Those in oppression can praise the Lord for this promise. Those in Christ can also praise the Lord because he is a faithful provider. He gives food to the hungry. He promises that those who seek first his kingdom and his righteousness will be given everything they truly need. Not everything they want, definitely not everything they greed, but everything they truly need. We can trust God for his providential care of his people. The Lord is also to be praised because he opens the eyes of the blind. May we never, ever, ever miss, as we read the pages of Scripture, that Jesus truly is God. Jesus is the divine Son of Man in whom there is salvation. He's the second person of the triune God. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. When this Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, walked the face of the earth, he opened the physical eyes of the blind. There's no promise that God will restore physical sight to his people in the here and now, but they are promised perfect vision for eternity in heaven. And may those of us in Christ, may we never forget to daily praise him that he's given us spiritual sight. For we were all once dead and blind in Adam. But if we're in Christ, we have new eyes, spiritual eyes, and we see. When this Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, walked the face of the earth, he also set the captives free from the power of sin. He stood up for the cause of the oppressed, and he lifted up those who were bowed down. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." As we trust in the sovereign, good, covenant-keeping Lord. We can praise Him even in difficult trials. We can trust the Lord's sovereign, trustworthy care. God's people must look to Him when oppressed and hungry and bowed down in prison and blind. Verses 7 through 8 teach us that we can and should praise God for His justice, His righteousness, His care, His concern, temporal and ultimate healing, and for His love. Verse 8 says, "The Lord loves the righteous." But who are the righteous? I mean, the Bible says that none of us are righteous in and of ourselves. The Bible tells us that God justifies the wicked. And who are the wicked? All of us in and of ourselves. Romans 4:5 says, "However, to the man who does not work," in other words, to the man or woman who does not try to earn their salvation, but rather trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. So how can we who are wicked be credited with righteousness? By trusting in our heart that Jesus is who He claimed to be, that He's fully God and fully man, that He lived the perfect life that we have not, that He died on the cross for our sins, and that He was raised from the dead. You see, when a person trusts in who Jesus is and what He's done through His life, death, and resurrection as their only hope of eternal life, get this. God not only forgives their sins, but He also credits Jesus' perfect righteous life to their account, and God declares them as righteous and holy and perfect in His sight. And for those who have been declared righteous in His sight through faith in Jesus Christ, you know what they do? They strive, and they strive hard to live a righteous life, not in order to earn salvation, but in gratitude for the grace of God that has been given them in Christ. The Lord loves all people in a general, providential way. Yet He has set His affection and His love on the righteous, meaning those who are in Christ Jesus. And to those in Christ, and to those in Christ alone, He gives this promise. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the past, nor the future, or the present, nor any powers, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are in Christ, be convinced of that promise and praise God for it. In verse 9, we see the Lord is also to be praised because He cares for people who are often neglected and overlooked. Look with me at verse 9. "The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin." Verse 9 teaches us that we can and we should praise God because He cares for the sojourner, meaning the refugees and the foreigner. And He cares for the widow. And He cares for the fatherless. And God commands His church to care for these people. I praise God for those who care for those in need. And if you are a person who has been cared for when you are in need, praise God for that. Verse 9 ends with a call for God's people to praise Him for His justice. Because God is just and good and holy, He does and He must bring the wicked to ruin, whether in this life or the next. We must not pour into verse 9 personal revenge or personal hatred or an uncaring mindset toward the wicked. The Bible commands us to never repay evil with evil, to love our enemies, to pray for them, and to overcome evil with good. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to us. And though it may seem at times that the wicked flourish and have power over God's people, this will come to an end, either in this life or in the next. God blesses the way of the righteous. However, he brings to ruin the way of the wicked. The Lord frustrates the way of the wicked. And we all know that wickedness, sin, does not satisfy. There's no experiencing life to the full in wickedness. There's no true joy, no true peace, no true meaning, no true satisfaction in wickedness. And for those who die without being declared righteous in God's sight through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will bring them to ruin in eternal, conscious torment in hell. As we've seen in verses 1 through 9, the Lord is the eternal. He's the sovereign. He's the promise-keeping Lord to those who are in Christ. He is our sure help and our sure hope, and we are to praise him. And you know what? Those of us in Christ, we will praise him forever because he will reign forever. Look with me at verse 10. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the ruler, and he is the king of the universe who will reign forever. He will never change, and his promises are sure, and they're good, and they're eternal. He has saved those of us in Christ who are citizens of Zion, his royal heavenly city. And you know why he saved us? He saved us to praise him. 1 Peter 2:9 says, to those who are part of God's eternal family, to those who are in Christ, he says, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And why? So that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God has saved those in Christ for the purpose of declaring his praises. How could we, who've been called out of darkness into his wonderful light, how could we not praise him? And how could we, who've been called out of darkness into his wonderful light, not share the gospel with other people so that they might praise him? And how could we, who've been called out of darkness into his wonderful light and have the Bible in our own heart language, how could we not support the Bible being translated into other languages so that others can praise him? For those of us in Christ, we began to praise the Lord from the heart the moment we were born again. We are to praise the Lord all of our lives as long as we have breath. And we will praise the Lord throughout all of eternity in his glorious presence in heaven. Our holy Lord is most worthy of all honor and all glory and all praise. May praise for the Lord be in our hearts, in our minds, and on our lips. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to praise you for who you are. How could we not if we truly know you? Help us to praise you as creator, as sustainer, and redeemer. And help us to praise you, Lord, that others might be brought into your kingdom, that they may praise you also. For we know that you seek more worshipers. Father, help us. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. May you be our greatest treasure. And may we ultimately trust only in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.